Morning. Today we're going to start the topic of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Mikshal. Now, although technically this is not in Chesh Mishpat, nevertheless, the shilas that come up with Lifnei Iver are some of the most difficult shilas that a business can face. I'll begin by going through some examples of shilas that come up. Each of these examples are discussed in different shuvos, and we'll get to over the next few weeks. Perhaps the simplest case is a person owns a nursing home. He has to obviously feed all of the residents. Many of these homes are located in areas that are predominantly not Jewish. And very often there's no kosher food available. Even if there was, kosher food, as you know, is somewhat more expensive than treif. So there's a very big temptation just to have everything serving total tarifus. Now, we discussed a few months ago the sugya of doing svayr b'machalas asuros. That we're going to put on the side for a moment. But assuming we can get around that, the question is, what happens to the one or two Jewish patients that you have? You are going ahead and feeding them, literally biyodayim, things that are treif. And therefore, you have a very serious question of lifnei iver l'sitei mikshal. You're causing them to be over many yisurim. Okay, that's for people who own nursing homes. But if you think about it, the question really goes much deeper. You have a caterer. You're catering within the frum community. Obviously, everything you're going to serve is mahajim and mahajim. It's glatt. The kashrus is impeccable. But what happens if someone comes into the restaurant or someone comes to the affair? You see, he's not frum. He's going to eat without making a bracha, or for that matter, he's not going to do nekiyas yadayim. So there's extensive discussion in the Paiskim that l'chayr, this is lifnei iver. When you hand someone a piece of bread and you know he's not going to wash, you know he's not going to make a bracha, you're being machshel him. So l'chayr, if you run a catering business, it would seem you have to give strict instructions to the waiters that anyone who has one of those funny stiff looking yarmulkes, no dessert, don't feed him. So this is a very serious shaila. Again, we'll get to later on the shuvas that discuss it. Now, moving away from food, let's go to perhaps the only industry more Jewish than food is perhaps real estate. A person owns a mall. He's renting out stores. Now, as you can imagine, the stores are generally open 7 days a week. What is the halacha if a frayid wants to rent a store from you? You know good and well, if you rent the space to him, he's going to use that space to open a business that will be open on Shabbos. So again, he's going to be nichshal. There should be lifnei iver, being nichshal and yisurei Shabbos in your store because you rented it to him. Now, this applies not only to commercial real estate, but even for that matter, you're renting an apartment. So assuming someone who's not from is renting from you, he's probably using the hot water on Shabbos. He's probably using the electricity, the phone lines, which belong to you. You're providing the hot water to him. And therefore, you once again have a question of lifnei iver. How far do your obligations go when, through your assets, through the fact that you're renting from him, you're giving him the opportunity to be over yisurim d'oraisa? Now, just that we shouldn't be accused of just picking on the businessmen, Rabbanim also have the shaila. Are you allowed to be Masadar Kedushin for a couple that you know is not going to be Zohar in Taras HaMishpacha? L'chayra, you are making the Kedushin, you're enabling them, and you're playing a role in this marriage. And therefore, this is a very serious shaila. There are many, many Jews that discuss it. You know, related issue is, what about Shalom Bayis? A couple comes to you, your Rav of a shul, they're having Shalom Bayis issues, and you know they're not Zohar but Taras HaMishpacha. So should you be trying to glue this relationship back together again, or perhaps not? Perhaps as the relationship ends, there'll be less Yisurim that you're being over. And one last example before we actually start the sugya is everyone's favorite. Are you allowed to go to a Hafganah on Shabbos? What?
In Muncie.
In Muncie, yeah. Give it time. America is like 10 years behind Eretz Yisrael. Give it time. Mark my words. And the issue, of course, is you're going to demonstrate because of Kovid Shabbos, but you know good and well if you have a demonstration, then they're going to have to arrange for security. They're going to be policemen there, people who are Jewish that are going ahead, carrying weapons, driving cars, horses, whatever it may be. And you're mean goyim chilul Shabbos. Is this a question of lifnei iver that through your actions you're being goyim chilul Shabbos? So now that we have somewhat of a sampling of where this is relevant to, let's go through what the actual Isser of Lifnei Iver is. So the Makar of the Isser is Pasuk in Kedoshim, L'sikal cheish v'lifnei iver lo yisitein michshel. Literally translated, it means before a blind person, don't put a stumbling block. The classic case, the blind man is walking down the street, you stick out your foot, you trip him, and that would seem to be a classic lifnei iver lo yisitein michshel, v'yareisem elokecha ani Hashem. Now Rashi on the Pasuk says, and it's based on the Moine HaMitzvahs, interestingly enough, when they discuss the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, they give two examples or two cases where the Isser applies. One is giving an Eitz Sheino Higenis, giving bad advice, which we discuss. And the second is being machshel someone in an Isser, helping someone do an Aveira, which is, again, going to be the main focus of the Shiurim. What's interesting is that the Moine HaMitzvahs completely ignore the Pashup Shad and the Pasuk. They do not say that if you trip a blind man, you're over an Isser of Lesitei Mechshel. And because of that, there is an extensive discussion among the Achroinim whether if you do in fact trip a blind person, whether you're over this Isser. Now certainly you're a Mazik, there are other Yisurim that you're over, but the question is whether you say Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuta, that the Pasuk means literally as well, or no. The ikar of the pasuk is for the other things. This is just a mashal, if you will, and therefore it's not even clear if you trip a blind person whether you are actually over this issur. So what is this pasuk referring to? So the first case that Rashi gives is giving an Eitz Sheino Higenis. Someone asks you for advice, you give him bad advice, you have figuratively tripped him. He's a summa bedavar. He doesn't know what to do. He's in the dark. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know what he should be doing. By giving him the bad advice, that is the michshol, that is the stumbling block that you're placing in front of him, and that is the isser d'oraisa of lifnei iver lo yisitein michshol. Someone asks you for an eitzah, and you give advice that you know is wrong, that is an isser d'oraisa. Now, obviously, people are not infallible. Someone asks you for an investing tip. You tell them to go ahead and buy a stock, and it tanks. Certainly, you're not over the isser of lifnei iver lo yisitein michshol. As long as you give the advice that you believe to be correct. The problem is when you know it's incorrect, but you have some sort of vested interest, you have some sort of negius, and therefore you guide him wrong. It's for someone you ask. So you're asked that shidduch information. You know this shidduch is just not going to work. It's a bad idea. But nebuch, you feel bad for the girl. She's older. She's having a hard time. So you encourage them to go ahead with it. That might be nice for her, at least short term, but this is an Isser D'oraisa, Lifnei Iver, Lo Yisitein Michshel. Now, of course, it's almost impossible to ever prove what the person's intentions were, because people can make mistakes. People can always argue, I thought this was the way to go. So in that, the Pasuk ends, V'yoreisa Melekach, Ani Hashem. V'yoreisa Melekach is always said, when something is Moser L'Shamayim, people will never catch you. You'll always be able to justify, you thought this is just your best, you thought this is a good idea. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzidei HaMachshavos, is the one that's going to settle the score for this. Now, Kli Yoker says, actually, this is the reason, this is the makar, how we know that Lifnei Iver does not mean literally tripping a blind person. Because if we're talking about a blind person walking down the street, and you went ahead, you stick your foot out, and he falls, do you need V'yareisa Melekecha for that? Anyone who's around knows this person is depraved, he did something wrong, he was over the Yisra. If it says V'yareisa Melekecha, it must be something which is Moser L'Lev. It must be something which depends on your intention, and Kli Yoker says that is the makar that we're talking about giving bad advice, because that's something which is Moser L'Shamayim. It's not Moser B'dei Adam. Now this Isser is particularly relevant if a person's in sales. He's going ahead, he's giving advice, he's just trying to sell a piece of real estate. So it's one thing to try to sell the real estate, to try to talk up all the advantages and the milos. But once you start giving advice, this is a good idea, you should be doing this, then you have to be very careful that you're not nichshel in Eitz Hashenu Hagenus.
Very good.
It's like this. If a person comes along, he comes to a financial planner and says, "What do I do?" Now, certainly, he knows you have an agenda. You want to sell the life insurance product. He knows you have an igius. For some reason, he's asking for advice anyway, which perhaps is not the wisest of things to do. He knows there's an igius. So, Enochrami, if you believe that it's the right thing to do, even though you have an igius and Sheikh Yaver Eini Chacham V'Yisala Divrei Tzadikim, even though your opinion here is probably not worth that much, but if he's asking you for your biased opinion, you give him a biased opinion, L'chayr, that's not lifnei iver, as long as you believe that it's true. The problem is, if you know good and well, this idea is lousy. You've been in the business long enough, you know this product just doesn't work. But there's a fat commission that they pay. Or you know for this person it's just not appropriate. So in that case, it's true they know we have an ikius. And it means when you give them an answer, they're going to take it with a grain of salt because they know your advice, your judgment here is probably impaired. But l'chayr, that's not a heter to give an etu that you know is eino hagenus. And therefore, in a case where you know it's wrong, I don't see the heter.
If you give bad advice, but it turns out to work out, mm-hmm. Is it over the issue?
Okay, very good. So there's a general question. Let's use the pashtus dekra. You see a blind man walking down the street. You're sitting there with a bunch of friends. You say, "Hey, watch this." And you stick out your foot. Now this blind man walks down the street, but Baruch Hashem, he has his mazel, he steps right over your foot and keeps on going. Were you over the Isser of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Mechshel? So the Chazon Ish says no. What? So that's the Shaila. Is the Isser of Lifnei Iver L'Sitei Mechshel, don't put the Mechshel? So if you put the Mechshel there, the fact that he has Siyata D'Shmaya doesn't fall, you did yours, you did the Isser, and then you're over. Or perhaps no. The Isser is tripping the person. The way to trip the person is to put your foot out. But it's only if he actually falls. If he doesn't fall, it's certainly v'Hashem yislach lo. The halacha is if a person's mechavin to do an Isser and he messes up and he doesn't do the Isser, it's v'Hashem yislach. He did an avol, he has to do tshuva. But the question is, but that's less than this Isser d'arayis of l'vnei iver l'sitei mechshel. So this is a machlokes among the Achroinim, there's no clear Achra, had a look at it. But the Machane Chayim points out that based on your points, that when a person gives bad advice, if you're a salesman, you can be a total yuslach. You haven't made a sale in 10 years. But every single time that you try, if you start giving an Eitz Hashenu Hagenus, it could be every time you're over the Daraisa, even though you're unsuccessful. It will depend on the Shaila.
You make five, but 2 points.
As far as your second point is a good point, but I would think it depends what role you're taking. When you talk to a salesman about a product, so every product, every car, what's the best car that's out there? So there's no real answer. It depends. If what's important to you is reliability, you'll buy one car. If what's important to you is how quickly it goes, you'll buy another car. If you care about, so every salesman will talk about the advantages of the item that he's selling. And when you walk into a salesman and say, "Tell me about the Camry," and he just describes it to you, I don't think he's giving an etzah. You have some point where a person comes in and it would be more fun, you know, he sits down and wants life insurance. You give him all the options, his eyes gloss over and just tells me, "Okay, what makes the most sense? What do I do?" At that point, you're not just describing advantages, you're guiding him and giving him an etzah, giving him advice what to do. So in that case, I think it would be an etzah shenah. Again, it's describing the mile. If he comes in, you're saying the good points about this car. You're not telling him this is what you should be doing. You're not telling him these are the points that are most important for a family like yours. That's just talking it up. I think that would not be the answer.
It depends on the role, but there's a lot of sort of gray area.
Correct.
If you're
correct.
A shidduch, and you just emphasize, you have no vested interest one way or the other, but for whatever reason, you talk up the good points, maybe you think it's the right thing to do. Right, you don't say, and I really think it is for you, just by not saying explicitly, doesn't let you off the hook, right? I mean, if you're leaving
I'm not so sure. I think when you get a phone call for information, they're very often, they're not interested in your hashkafa of what to look for in a marriage. They want to know what, you know this girl, you know this boy, tell me what he's about. And they're not interested in your advice, because what's important to you may not be important to them, and very often you don't even know the party that's calling you. It's just the cold call. So there, the fact that you're telling them what this person is about, the fact that to you, these Milos or these Chasroinos, I don't think that's advice. But when, on the other hand, if you're the Rav or the Rosh Hashiva and they're coming to you and telling you, what do I do? You know, the boy's going, what do I do? There you're giving advice. It's two very different points. Okay, so that's a separate... that's not so much Lifnei Iver. That's a question of Lo'isam and Adam Reyacha. Lifnei Iver is when you do something... Lifnei Iver is the blind fellow is walking down the street, you stick out your foot. On the other hand, if you're watching the fellow who stuck out his foot, and now you have a question, do you scream out to the blind person, stop, walk around, that's not Lifnei Iver. You haven't done anything. That's a question of Lo'isam and Adam Reyacha, which if it's a real issue, then Ein Hachanami. If the person is going to unwittingly walk into a disaster, but you, then there's an issue of Lo'isam.
What?
Now, to take this to the next level where this comes up, I think if you ask a salesman for advice, if you believe in your product and you say yes, go for it. I think that's that even if you're wrong, that's not Eitz Hashem HaGenes because that's what you believe. And the person who asked you knew that you had a Negius. He knew that you're probably going to believe in it, whether or not it objectively it's the best thing. But if he asks you for your biased opinion, as long as you're honest about it, then that would be fine. Where things get very, very problematic is what happens if you're getting we'll call it a referral fee, that the fellow doesn't know about. You have an accountant, you're talking to him, and he recommends an attorney, he recommends some other service, and he has an arrangement under the table where he gets a kickback, he gets a referral fee. Now, putting aside in Yonim of Chosh Mishpat, whether the person's entitled to a chelik, whether you have to, but let's just talk about the din of Lifnei Iver. If you advise someone, use this attorney. So, if this is the right attorney to use, it's good advice, wonderful. On the other hand, if this attorney is really not qualified or not the best person to use for this particular job, we already now have an issue of Lifnei Iver. Now, if you have no negius, you believe this attorney is a good attorney. Someone asks you, who do I use? You send them that way. So that is, you gave your best advice. You may be wrong, you may be right. That's not relevant. Your point is, you gave what you believe to be as an Eitz HaGenes. What would be if you have your Negeh B'davar? Because if you refer it to this person, you get a referral fee. You refer him to someone else, there's no referral fee. Now, if you start sending it to the person who you know you're going to benefit from, you have a Negeus. The person who's asking you the advice thinks he's getting an unbiased opinion. He's getting a Meshuchadik opinion. So if it happens to be you're right, this is the best place to go, wonderful. It's certainly not Eitz Hashem HaGenes, might be other issues, but here you will not be Lifnei Iver. On the other hand, if you're wrong, if this is not the place to go, and the reason why you're sending him there is because you believe it's true because you're in a Geus, I don't think you have a Heter over here.
Does disclosure help that?
Yeah. Because if you disclose it, just like when I ask a salesman, do you really think a Camry is a good idea? And he says yes. And so as long as he truly believes it, that's not Lifnei Iver. He's Negeh B'davar. You know he's Negeh B'davar. You asked him for his biased opinion. He gave you his honest biased opinion. On the other hand, if you think you're getting a real opinion, and really you're getting a biased opinion, so if it's wrong, you don't have a sign of oinus. Normally, if I give good advice, which I think is good, so even if I'm wrong, that's an oinus. Well, you ask me for advice. The best I can do is to tell you what I think. I'm not a Navi. But if I know that my advice is worthless or worth very little because of an Negius, and I don't disclose that, okay, I'm running the risk. If this is not the Eitz HaToyva, then I think it would be Lifnei Iver. Okay, excellent.
Again, he thinks it's an Eitz
HaGenes. He thinks it's a Genes.
That's true.
But it is. He thinks it's an Eitz HaGenes. But Klapi Shmaya, the reason why he thinks like that is because he's by the Shoichet over here. He doesn't realize that. He's convinced I would do it anyway. But Lamaisa the Shaykhah. So when you give advice which turns out to be wrong, that's not Lifnei Iver. You're not enough. You tried your best. This is not called trying your best. You know your advice is worth very little because you know you have this negius. So in that case, if you're wrong, I think it's Lifnei Iver without any excuse.
If everyone knows
about it, wonderful. But very often all of the professionals know about it, all of the customers don't. And the riot is why the person doesn't want to disclose it. They're usually very uncomfortable because they usually don't want to disclose it because they're assuming the person doesn't know. But it depends on the case. I agree with you. If they know about it, then he knows the key is.
If he discloses it.
Right.
And he knows he's giving wrong advice.
No, that's not a heter either. 100%. We're talking about if he knows it's wrong, there's never a justification. We're saying that he believes he's right. So if
it doesn't just have to be referral fee. It could be he's my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law, and you want to do the guy a favor or whatever it is. They all fit it into
good. That's a case. That's a classic with an either. When you care more, you're doing it for the benefit of yourself or your brother-in-law as opposed to the person who's asking your advice. Because like this, when someone asks you your advice, I know you're not a nuffy. I want to hear what your opinion is. So as long as you give me your true opinion, whether or not you're right, that's not lifnei iver. In this case, you can't give me your, you don't have a true opinion. You were paid off. There's a negias. Your advice, now, Bishloima, if you make a good, you try to give your best advice and you push it, you're wrong, you have an excuse. But you know you were paid off. You know you have shaycha, your advice is not trustworthy, and you're giving me an etzer. You have no right to do that. And if you're wrong, you can't say, I'm an onus, I tried my best. Yet taking money for an opinion is not called trying your best and a good faith effort to give an etzer. So in this case, whenever you're being paid and you're giving advice, I think you have a very serious shaila of a favor, unless it happens to be correct. If that's... I've never met a person under an FBI investigation that just wants competency. He wants to know, this is where I am, who is the right man for, who knows this judge the best, who is the right person to go to. If you're telling me mitzvahs where they don't want the best, they just want someone competent, and this person is clearly competent, then good. But so this is give, as far as giving etzah shein ha'yigenes. Now, so going back to your question, does it apply to a yid or to a goy as well? So if you look at the Rambam, the Chinuch, they all write when they say this iser, they speak out it only applies to another yid. This obligation to give good advice is to a yid. The chiyuv of etzah hagenes does not apply to a guy. Now the Minchas Chinuch is matmiya. It says like this: we know that the halacha is if you hand a guy eiver menachai and he eats it, you're over the iser of lifnei iver l'sitei mechsha. A guy is not eiver menachai. It's one of the seven mitzvot b'nei noach. So enabling him, giving him the Eber Menachai is awesome. If we see the Isser Lifne Iver applies even to a guy, that if you give him something he's not allowed to eat, you're over. So then the same pasuk, how do we split it? So when you give an eight, the same way that's called a Mikshol in front of an Iver, when you give him something you're asked to eat, hu hadin, bad advice is the same thing. And therefore the Minchas Chinuch is matmiya and says, the Isser of Eitz Shein HaYigenes should apply to a guy as well. Now the halacha, come out all the poskim, the rishonim say not like that. So Rabbi Chanan says the following. He says, although it's learned out from one pasuk, there's a critical difference between giving someone bad advice and handing someone a piece of meat that he's not allowed to eat. If you hand someone a piece of meat that he's not allowed to eat, there the iser of lifnei iver is why, is because you're being goyim in iser. Iser is something which is not good. The Torah says lifnei iver is in mishal. We don't want you being goyim any isurim. If that's the case, it doesn't make a difference who's doing the yisur, whether it's a yid or it's a goy. It's not the bein odom lechaveroi, I'm hurting him by causing him to do an yisur. It's the fact that the Torah is makbid, not only do you have 613 mitzvahs to worry about, you're not allowed to go ahead and be goyim other yisurim to be done. So if that's the case, it doesn't make a difference whether the person violating the yisur is a yid or a goy. If an evil is to take nukshel, you're going to be over the yisur d'oraisa. That's when we're talking about being machshel with an yisur. When you're dealing with an Eitz Shein HaHigenes, there he says the pshat is not bad advice. There's something wrong with people doing silly things. People do that all the time without advice. The issue over here is the Ben Adam Lechaveroi, the fact that you're being machshel someone, you're giving someone a bad advice. Now, in Ben Adam Lechaveroi, the general rule is, when we're dealing with a guy, you are always separately mudim. Gezel Akum, you're not allowed to steal from a guy, but it's learned out of a separate pasuk. There's a separate Yalfusa. Over here, by Lifnei Iver, because we do not have a separate limud, so there, the Ben Adam Lechaveru part of Lifnei Iver, the Eitz Shein HaYigenes, applies only to a Yisrael, and not to an Akum.
Gnevas Das would still be there, wouldn't it?
Correct. If there is Gnevas Das, if you do it in a way where there's Gnevas Das, as we learned by Richus, Gnevas Das does apply to a Goy, L'Kuliyama, and therefore, it's very, very likely we'll have. Okay, this was, I guess, a rather lengthy introduction, but our main focus of the shiurim is going to be on the second type of lifnei iver, and that is being machshel someone with an iser. The classic case in the Gemara is there's a nazir. Nazir's not allowed to drink wine. He gets a bit thirsty. He asks you to pass him the bottle. So if you pass him the bottle, there you're over the iser of lifnei iver lisitei machshel. How do we see this from the pasuk? The Rambam explains that it means someone who is an iver, someone who is blinded by his taiva, is not able to see correctly and see what's right, so he is an iver, but he's a summa bedover, so handing him the bottle of wine, enabling him to be over the iser, that is the pasuk of lifnei iver lisitei machshel. Now, the basic question that we're going to come to again and again in different forms and different angles is how far does it go? Anytime you sell someone anything, who knows what he'll do with it? He may at some point take this item and use it for you. Send him, you sell a knife, who knows what he'll do with it? How far does your responsibility go? How direct of a link does there have to be between what you're doing and the actual iser that's being done? So we're going to discuss lifnei de lifnei, and it's how direct it is. We're going to also discuss how likely it is. Does it have to be certain that he'll do the iser? Is it suffic enough? How likely it has to be that through your actions? And lastly, actually, to start with this, is how much are you needed? In other words, if you wouldn't do it, would the iser still happen? In other words, are you the one enabling the iser, or are you just helping it out? And that, we'll see, is going to be a very critical question. So the first makar for this shaila is the Gemara on Daf Vav. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to do business with a guy just before his holiday, and the Gemara declares why. The Gemara discusses the concept of lifnei iver, that if you sell him an animal just before the holiday, what's he going to use it for? He's going to take the animal, he'll be makriv it as a karbon. So the Gemara makes the following distinction. Going back to the case of a nazir, if you hand a nazir a bottle of wine, the Gemara says that you're only over lifnei iver when it's trei avri denaro, which means the nazir is on one side of the river, you and the bottle are on the opposite side, and the nazir can't reach the wine. In that case, if you don't help him out, the nazir is not going to get. He's not going to be over the iser. He can't reach the bottle of wine. By you handing him the bottle, you're enabling him to do the iser. So this, the Gemara says, is trei avri denaro, two sides of the riverbank. And in that case, since it's only through your action the iser is done, that is when you're over the iser of lifnei iver d'oraisa. On the other hand, it's chad avra denaro. The nazir is sitting right next to you. He's thirsty, but instead of being impolite and reaching over in front of your face, he just says, please pass me the wine. So in that case, what's going to be if you say no? He'll say, okay. He'll get up, and he'll take it himself. So in that case, if you say no, it's chad avra denaro, he can reach it on his own, he's going to do the iser regardless. So there, in this case, the Gemara says that if the iver derives, it does not apply. The iver is only when you don't give it, the iser will not be done. He can't reach the wine. But the moment he can do it on his own, this will not be lifnei iver d'oraisa. So if you're sitting on the plane, and they're going around serving the food, and bring a tray for meal, and you're in the aisle seat, the fellow in the window seat asks you to pass it to him. So if he's a frayer, so is this chad avra denaro or trei avra denaro? It's chad. If you say no, I'm Jewish, I'm not passing you this meal. He's just going to get up himself and take it. He'll get it directly from whoever's serving it. So this is chad avra denaro, and this will not be an iser d'oraisa because he can get to it on his own. We'll see. There's an iser misayeh midrabanon that we're going to have to deal with. But as far as the lifnei iver d'oraisa, that is only when it's trei avra denaro. Without your action, the iser will not take place. Now, although this sounds very the concept itself sounds very simple, it's not quite. There are a number of cases that are shilas. One case, this is actually from the Mishnah Melech. What happens in a case where a person wants to borrow money by ribis? Now, it's ribis derabbanon, the borrower is not over the iser. It's the lender's problem. The borrower is over lifnei iver because the lender has an iser. By you borrowing, you're causing the lender to be over the iser, so that's why you're not allowed to borrow money. But that's the iser on the leiva by ribis derabbanon. So it'll be the following case: you went into this fellow to borrow money. You worked out the arrangement, and then you realize at the end he's a yid. He doesn't care. He's ready. He's going to go ahead and lend the money anyway. But you have an issur lifnei iver. You don't want to borrow from him. On the other hand, you really want the deal. So what you do is you say, you know what? I have to think about it. You go to the side of the office. You wait until the next person comes in. Another person comes in. Another yid. He's about to borrow. He sits down at the table, negotiates the deal. He's about to borrow the money. At that point, you see your opening, you jump up and say, you know what, I'm ready, do the deal with me, forget the new guy, give me the money. Are you ever lifting either or not? Now,
No.
Assuming he only has one, he only has enough money for one. Now, in this case, if you don't do the deal, what's going to happen? He'll lend it to the next year. Is that lifting either or not? Zok the Pnei Moshe, no. This is like Harav Denaro. He doesn't need you to do the Yisr. If you don't take the deal, he has the other person ready to take it. Therefore, the Pnei Moshe says it's perfectly fine. There's no Yisr of Lifnei Iver. Obviously, the Malva can't. Malva is being over Yisr. But the Loiver is not being over Lifnei Iver because either way, the Yisr is going to be done. Zog the Mishnah Melech, nothing doing. He says it's one thing if there's Nazirs on one side of the river, me and the wine are on the other side. So there, if I say no, he's not going to get the wine. There's Lifnei Iver. What happens in the same case, the Nazir is on one side, me and the bottle are on the other side, but next to me there's another Yid who doesn't care about Lifnei Iver. And if I say no, he'll take the bottle and hand it to the person. Zok the Mishnah Melech, that's not a Heter. When the person can do the Aveir on his own without any help, so then Chalav Denari doesn't need me, that's Lifnei Iver. But if he needs the help, the question is, am I going to be over the Yisr Lifnei Iver, or is the next Yid going to be over the Yisr Lifnei Iver? The fact that someone else will do Lifnei Iver doesn't mean that when I do it, it's not Lifnei Iver. And therefore, in that case, since Mamonav Shach, one of the two people are going to be over the Yisr of, if the other person doesn't, he'll be over Lifnei Iver, so whoever does it, whoever chops it, whoever Zoyfe is the one that it's going to be over the Yisr Lifnei Iver. Oh, very good. So if the other person is a goy, and a goy has no Yisr Lifnei Iver, well, by Ribbis, it's not a shot. He's allowed to borrow a Ribbis. So it's, but even in a case without that, even if the goy would hand the Nazir the wine, so good, there's no Lifnei Iver. The goy is not doing anything wrong by handing a Nazir a bottle of wine. He's not Mitzvah on Lifnei Iver. It's not one of the Zayim Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. It's only when the other person's a Yid, so Manoshach, someone's going to be over the Yisr Lifnei Iver, I can't say I'm Pacher because he's going to do it. Therefore, the Mishnah Melech says, in that case, where whoever's doing it will be over the Yisr, there he says, you're going to be over, even though without your action, it'll get done at the end of the day. And interestingly enough, he actually points out, and the case is not so shchiach, he says, let's say the other person is borrowing money beribis, his pikuach nefesh, he has some, which he's allowed to do. So there he says, there that yid who's borrowing from pikuach nefesh is not over lifnei iver, because for him, pikuach nefesh is doich lifnei iver, he's allowed to borrow the money. So then, if you want to jump in and borrow the money, he says you're not over Lifnei Iver, because that's the equivalent of competing with a guy. Now, obviously, you can't do it because Pikuach Nefesh, yeah, you're taking away the money that's needed for Pikuach Nefesh. But I'll co-part of Lifnei Iver, you're not going to have, because the point of the Mishnah Melech is, when someone's with the other person is going to be over Lifnei Iver, that's not an excuse for you. But if it's a guy, or it can be done without anyone being over Lifnei Iver, then it's Chayav V'Denaro, that would be okay.
So the case, okay.
Okay, Enochami, right. If someone will have to be over the Yisr, then Enochami. Then according to the Mishnah Melech, it would be Yisr. If he can take it on his own, that would be Chadav Denaro, and there would be Motor. Oh, very good, very good. This Minchas Chinuch says that. What happens if you are Machshel someone in Yisr D'Rabbanan? Oh, it's like this. The Minchas Chinuch says you're over Yisr D'Raisa. Why? Even though he's only over, even though the nichshal is only over Nisr Drabbanon, but just like if I give him bad advice, that's Nisr D'Oraisa. So being machshel him to the over Nisr Drabbanon is an Nisr D'Oraisa, Veitu Shein HaGenis. And therefore the chinuch says, a peladik a chiddish, I can cause someone to do the Yisr, he's over the Drabbanon, I'm over the D'Oraisa because of Veitu Shein HaGenis. Now this is not so poshut. Many argue. Some actually say there is one shita that says that there's no lifnei iver b'chlal in Nisr Drabbanon. Again, halacha and shulchan aruch, we're talking about benching and all. Not benching is actually the worst example. We're talking about making a bracha and tefillah sedayim. Clearly, they hold yes. There are some shittas that hold there's no iser b'chlal lifnei iver. But many that say there is an iser say that's only the rabbanon, and they say two things. The svara they say it's not mistavra that the person doing over the iser is only iser the rabbanon. The person who's machshel him is an issur d'oraisa. How are you talking? How could it be that the advice is more fun? I lamaisis eitzah shein hoigenes. So the Achiezer says a very interesting chiddush. He says by eitzah shein hoigenes that applies only when the person. When it's a shaykh, the person thinks he's getting good advice, you're really selling him down the river, you're really giving him lousy advice. That's the law of Eitzah Shein HaGenes. Being machshel someone for the Yisr, you hand him the nozzle bottle of wine, you can tell him it's Asur D'oraisa, you're going to burn in Gehenna, this is a terrible thing to do. Nevertheless, the Yisr is not because of your advice, the Yisr is, you are machshel him, you enabled him to do the Yisr. Zok the Achiezer, that in a case where the person knows he's being over the Yisr, he says, you can't say it's an Eitzah Shein HaGenes, it's not an Eitzah. You told him terribly, it's a terrible thing to do. Elamai, even though you told him not to do it, you gave him good advice, Lamais, you enabled him to do the Yisr, good, that's what the Yisr of Lufni Yivir is. So therefore, he says, if you helping someone, giving someone to do the Rabbanon, as long as he's amazed, he knows it's wrong, you're not giving him an Eitzah, that's only Nisr Rabbanon. And Echanami. If you give him that, you tell him, go be over Nisr to Rabbanon. And Echanami, forget about that. It's just an Eitzah Shein HaGenes. But in the typical case where you just handed it to him, there he says it would only be Nisr Rabbanon, not an Isr D'oraisa.
A fried person doesn't necessarily know.